White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball.
Get the fireworks ready.
White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890.
That's right. You've got White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight. We are live at Jewel on Roosevelt and Wabash, hanging out upstairs right by the Cheez-Its and the Jameson. We've got the halfway to St. Patrick's Day hat from the White Sox here as part of our giveaway, sponsored by Jameson. A little tab on the back of the hat here. I'm wearing it, trying to make it look good, probably failing. We got T-shirts and tote bags, all that good stuff. If you want to come by, hang out with the broadcast, you are more than welcome to. We'd love to see you. If you've ever dreamt of being a White Sox player, well, then now is your chance. You can attend the 2018 Chicago White Sox Fantasy Camp at Camelback Ranch, Glendale, January 14th through the 20th. You can be treated. You will be treated like a pro. For more information or to reserve your roster spot, call 623-302-5078 or sign up at WhiteSox.com. You know, it occurs to me that you could, as a White Sox fan, plan a pretty good end of January. You could get yourself to the fantasy camp from the 14th to the 20th. Then you come back for SoxFest on the 26th, a couple of days in between to check back in with work, make sure you've not been let go or anything like that for, you know, missing all that time. But probably worth your time. You head down to Glendale for fantasy camp there. I've known a few people who have done it. They have come back with nothing but awesome, awesome stories from it. And you should get down there and do it. You absolutely should. And if you get hurt, you get Herm Schneider to take care of you too. We're just listening to White Sox general manager Rick Hahn talk a bit about the long term of this club and exactly what may go on over the course of the winter, some evaluations on players, things like that. Some of those we'll leave to Ricky Renteria in just a little bit. And some of them we'll leave to Chris Cook of the Chicago Tribune, who's taking over from Colleen Kane on the beat for the White Sox. Looking forward to talking to Chris and getting to know him a little bit here on White Sox Weekly. But just before the news, we were talking some about the idea of what to do with Jose Abreu and with Avi Garcia. Obviously, both of them with just 2 years left of control from the White Sox. And while they're both in different places on the aging curve, they're both in very similar places from a White Sox team control perspective. As the rebuild is looking to be a long-term thing, as it's looking to be a self-sustaining thing, obviously the acquisition of young talent for perhaps expiring deals is something that the White Sox will always be looking at. Avi and Jose mean a lot of large things to the White Sox, right? Jose is the glue of that clubhouse. Avi is a guy who, you know, kicked off kind of a rebuilding or reloading process a few years ago, and a guy that they had some serious dreams on when they brought him over from the Tigers. And he's realized those this season. So as they both sit in kind of unique places, General Manager Rick Hahn kind of addressed both of them in this second half of a press conference with the Chicago White Sox beat reporters, and we'll bring that to you here on White Sox Weekly.
Into the future with the rebuild. Is he a trade candidate, or is he someone that you expect?
Again, and I may as well address Avi at the same time because they are in similar situations. Both Avi and Abreu are under control for the next 2 years through 2019. I think even under the most optimistic projections of our ability to contend, certainly 18 and 19 don't include the bulk of the time where we anticipate having a window open to us. So ultimately, with any player that isn't controllable for the bulk of that window, we have to make an assessment. Is it in our best interest to extend that player so that they're controllable through that period of time? Or do we need to, as we did with other similar extremely talented and valuable players in the game, explore the trade market and see if we're better served by moving them in exchange for players that would be under control for that extended window of time that we project to have for ourselves. Abreu is they're both special cases, and there's very strong arguments for them playing roles, you know, in 2020 and beyond. Abreu, obviously, can't say enough about not only the season he's had on the field, but the importance he is in our clubhouse, the role he plays in our clubhouse. Avi is still very young in this game at age 26 this year and has had his breakout season, and you can have reason to believe that kind of performance is what's going to become the norm for him going forward. All those are considerations as we sort of make that assessment. Are we better served trying to control these players through the bulk bulk of what we project to be our window, or are we better served as an organization doing as we had to do with Chris and Adam and Jose and others?
Rick, with Jose in particular, how has what he's done this year changed, if it has in any way, what you think of him for a long term?
I don't think it's changed dramatically. I mean, he's had arguably his best year. He maybe could put it on par with his rookie season, but I think you've seen some improvement from him defensively. He's certainly in great shape right now. I think most of the, if you were to say any improvement or any change since he first got here, it's simply with his comfort level in that clubhouse and the role of leader that he's always wanted to. We've talked about that in this room going back to after his rookie season,
Hey, Rick,
about that's how he viewed himself and that's what he wanted to be for this organization. But I think you've seen more examples, more public examples than you were able to see in the past of him playing that role for this club.
Rick, regarding those two guys, it seemed to me you kind of answered a question with a question. So do you want to extend those guys?
That's nothing I would ever answer about any player. What I tried to do was lay out the question at hand and the issue at hand, and that we have to as a front office make that decision. And frankly, on both players, those decisions don't have to be made this offseason. As I said at the start, they're both controllable through 2019. We have the luxury, if we want, to play it out another year, play it out another half a year, see if the performance continues, see if the trade market changes. As was the case as we sat here with Quintana a year ago.
Potentially
a trade candidate.
And I want to fight this.
We're not giving up on time.
It's not me just dancing around or being cute. There isn't the firm answer right now. We don't know what the options are. One of them conceivably is extending. We have to wait and see what that cost entails.
To play that out just a little bit, doesn't it get more difficult to do an extension the closer they get to free agency?
In some cases, yes. In others, sometimes a player needs to see what their free agent value is, and they perhaps have a different view of what their value is than what ultimately the market tells them it is. So you've certainly seen a lot of players who've had to go out into the market and then get whatever information they needed and ultimately return back to their club. So, again, neither of them are on the doorstep of free agency. Neither of them do we have to necessarily make a final decision on trade or extend into the 2020 era, the window that's in 2020 and beyond, let's say. But those are the issues, as candidly as I can lay it out, in terms of what we're trying to decide and what the factors are you weigh in making that decision.
You talked about the importance of the culture kind of changing. As you watch this month and all the young guys, are you happy with what you've seen from that side of things?
Very pleased with it. These guys, fight every night, and they hustle every night. You have a lot of guys out there whose bodies are sore from busting as hard as they have. Ricky's had to actually say to a few guys who are hobbling a little bit, look, I know you're sore. I know you're trying to bust it down the line like we've done since the first day of spring training. You can take it down a half a step if you have to on a play where you're clearly out. But that's sort of the mentality that he and the coaching staff has helped create. And even the veteran players who were here before we moved them embraced it. And then, even though they're obviously not part of the end of the season with us or necessarily part of the near future, they deserve some credit, too, for buying in. And when they were in a situation where it was likely that they were going to get moved. And Ricky and the staff got the guys buying in. And they're playing a brand of baseball that I think White Sox fans can be proud of. And the ones that have spoken to me are certainly proud of.
It's how Nate Jones, Zach Putnam, and even Charlie Tilson are progressing right now.
Jones and Putnam, there's really nothing substantive to report. They're both recovering and continue on the original timelines that we gave you. Charlie Tilson has been cleared for baseball activities. He will be joining our instructional league here in the coming days, if he hasn't already today. My days are a little messed up. And we're going to hopefully be able to ramp him up into game activity down there in Arizona over the coming weeks and see how it goes.
Ricky Renteria, the right manager to continue this rebuild and get to where you need to be.
How long do you have? I mean, I think we've seen it time and again over the course of the season. There's been whether it's his ability to create a culture where every man on that roster feels important and understands the expectations of how we want the game played, to his ability to teach a guy, whether you've seen it on TV a number of times, him going up to guys in the dugout in-game to have that conversation. There's stuff that happens before or after a ball game in private. His baseball knowledge, the amount, his work ethic, the amount of time he spends to get this thing right, and the pride he takes in being a White Sox, and the shared vision we have for what we ultimately as an organization, from Jerry, Kenny, myself, and Ricky, all want this thing to look like here over the coming years. I don't think any of us around here have any doubt that he's absolutely the right guy.
We saw what happened to him with the Cubs, kind of doing the rebuild, and then it didn't work out so well. I know he's still got a couple more years left on his deal, but is he long-term the guy that you think can run the
club? I see no reason he's not.
On Luis Robert.
Yes.
What do you expect from him next season in terms of levels that he would compete at, and how, you know, where he is in his development?
It's a fair question, and it's one that's a little tough to answer until we've got him playing regularly over here. I expect he'll be in big league camp with us. I expect, based on what we see over those 6 weeks, we'll choose an A-ball affiliate for him to start at. That could be Kannapolis, could be Winston, who knows. We'll see what he looks like. From there, it wouldn't shock me if he pushed up a level or two, depending on where he started over the course of the 2018 season. He's obviously got a very advanced approach at the plate. He's very physically gifted, and it would not surprise me if he wound up moving on the quicker side. That said, this can be the first time he's going to be in the States full time. It's going to be the first time he's playing baseball that regularly, the first time he's had to adapt to the new culture and food and language. So we're going to give him the space he needs, regardless of what level he's at, to have his growing pains if that's what happens. We're obviously very excited to have him join us here, and once big league camp gets started, and then over the course of those few weeks, we'll get to sort of be able to project out a little more firm a development plan for him.
When you watch the postseason, and what might it be like to watch some of your former guys pitching?
I'm not the best at watching the postseason. It's sort of all your friends having a party that you weren't invited to, so it makes me not enjoy it too much, but I'll watch a little bit of it. I'm sure my kids will have it on in the house when I'm around. I'm going out to the fall league and instructs, and that's my postseason right now, enjoying projecting out what the future can look like.
Do you have certain areas targeted yet, or is it still kind of a fluid process too in terms of your lineup and that kind of thing
for 2018?
Yeah, I mean 2018-19 almost combined.
I mean, we shot a pretty big hole through our bullpen, I think, was pretty apparent over the course of our trade activity. And that's certainly going to be an area of need heading into the offseason. We've had a few guys step up here and you know, stake a pretty good claim on a spot for the 2018 bullpen. But at the same time, having a little bit more depth there, I think, will serve us well. And again, then it's going to be about being opportunistic. And perhaps there's another arm to fill into the rotation that makes some sense for us, that we see help as a building block to allowing some of these young guys a little bit more time and cushion to develop. And we'll see what's available position player wise. But I think you look at our bullpen, and we can't make any secret that we're going to have to be active there.
Rick, do you expect the coaching staff to return to
him? I do. You know, with Kopech, and people have heard me say this before, really the goals for him for 2017 was to take the ball every fifth day for the entire season, something that he had not done as a professional yet, and to survive at AA, which was an advanced placement for him at age 20, 21. And obviously, based on his performance, not only was he able to take the ball every fifth day, but he blew past those sort of modest goals, which we felt were very real and very important goals for him. And people who've covered us for a few years are probably sick of me hearing say that the good ones have a way of sort of forcing the issue, and that's what Michael started to do last year by getting himself to AAA at age 21 and performing extremely well at both the AA and the AAA level. I certainly don't want to rule anything out, but I think once again we're going to take an approach where we're going to have realistic and important goals for him for 2018, and if he blows past them and forces the issue, we'll adapt accordingly.
Yoan Moncada, I mean, it looks like if you just looked at the straight numbers, it would be pretty impressive, but the metrics seem even more so. Hard hit rates and the plate discipline. Just how do you evaluate it? And in particular, was the plate discipline and taking those walks a pleasant surprise?
Now, I wouldn't say necessarily a surprise. It's nice to see him continue that at the big league level. It was certainly part of the package that we thought we were acquiring, and that aptitude and that strike zone knowledge and judgment, as long with his ability to barrel up a ball and as you pointed out, the exit velocity and what came with that. He obviously had a very fine season. He met our expectations for what we were hoping he was going to be able to accomplish this year. And part of that those expectations was him being challenged by a big league breaking ball. That's part of the reason we brought him up when we did was because he wasn't really getting challenged anymore on that sort of one of the last elements of his development that had to happen in Chicago. And you've seen over the last few weeks, I think, a little bit more adjustment to that. And that's going to continue to happen. This is a 22-year-old kid, and he's going to have some fits and starts here over the next few years. But based on everything we've seen since he's first stepped on campus for us, we continue to project him as a special talent.
That is White Sox general manager Rick Hahn, who has, you know, in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different press conferences, talked about some of the young talent that the White Sox have yet to see, and some of it is already here. It's been impressive to watch the debuts of a number of different prospects, whether it's Giolito, whether it's Lopez, Mancata, the list goes on, but. What will be very interesting for me, especially once we hit spring training, and Rick talked about this a little bit in the last couple of minutes here, will be to see how a guy like Eloy Jimenez or a guy like Luis Robert steps up into that next challenging assignment. You know, where Jimenez ends up being assigned, where Robert ends up being assigned will be very interesting and very fun to watch. And I think we'll get to see both of them in Major League Camp for the first time as White Sox players, too. So that... just a handful of months away, and certainly we got to get through all of winter before we get there. That will be a lot of fun to watch. When we come back a little bit from Ricky Renteria at 5:05, we'll talk to Chris Cook of the Chicago Tribune. This is White Sox Weekly. You've got WLS AM 890. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. Sox fans, don't miss the White Sox signature podcast, The Cycle. Comedian and Chicagoan Pat McGann, along with a rotating group of co-hosts, chat with athletes and celebrities about sports, life, and everything in between. Subscribe via your podcast app today. Pat should probably have Jose Abreu on The Cycle at some point, because Jose hit for The Cycle earlier this season. Speaking of Jose Abreu, and we've been doing that a lot over the last probably half hour of the show, we heard Rick Hahn talk a bit about Jose and the unique circumstances that he kind of has in the last 2 years, the next year, 18 and 19, the last 2 years of team control there, the unique situation he's in as a leader in that clubhouse and what he means, and what he's meant, rather, to a couple of young players in that club, too, maybe all the young players in the club. Ricky Renteria talked a bit about having Pito, as he calls him, as a lot of guys call him, in that clubhouse, what he's meant from the day-to-day standpoint, something that he's a little bit more familiar with than Rick Hahn, though certainly, you know, the two Ricks. Here is manager of the White Sox, Ricky Renteria, a bit about Jose Abreu.
Well, a lot of value, especially in the place in which we're at right now. We find ourselves with a lot of young players that are, you know, just coming into the major league level. There's a learning curve about what they're capable of doing between the lines. But then you have someone who's been here now for 4 years, who's maintained a really consistent working routine and has still continued to improve. I mean, this year might be one of his better years of the 4 years you guys have seen him, especially on the defensive end. I mean, offensively, he's been as consistent as you can possibly be. But defensively, he took another step forward, huge step forward. And I think during ball games, on top of that, when there's a little action going on and they have to talk about something when they go to the meetings and the mound, he's in there. You know, he's initiating some of those talks. So it's really big to have those guys see someone take something seriously, still be relaxed, but he's also coming into his own himself. He's become more and more relaxed as time goes on.
It's been really fun to watch Jose and, you know, his interactions with younger ballplayers, with other ballplayers in that clubhouse. There's no doubt that he is he's the guy in that clubhouse. And as he, it's always been fascinating to me to watch a lot of players who come over without English as a first language adapt to this and be so smart so as to be able to converse with English-speaking players and make sure that they're, I mean, they all have a common ground of baseball to talk about and to talk, you know, language to work with. But that's harder than it sounds, me just saying it here, right? I mean, it's much more difficult than just saying, well, they all talk baseball. That's kind of a cop-out, and it's really not giving credit where credit's due to guys like Jose who have adopted this kind of, you know, both and hybrid language. It's really impressive to have watched Jose over the last little bit. We'll talk a little bit more about that and about this future of a White Sox ball club where the season comes to an end tomorrow afternoon. 2:10 game tomorrow. Everybody starts at the same time. We got a 6:10 game tonight. Pregame show at 5:35. Up next, Chris Cook, who covers the White Sox of the Chicago Tribune, is going to hop on White Sox Weekly. This is WLS AM 890. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890. I'm Connor McKnight, and you can join Chicago White Sox Charities for the Holiday Garage Sale on Saturday, December 2nd at Guaranteed Rate Field. You take home a piece of White Sox history, including a game-used equipment, jerseys, hats, and much more. Entrance to the garage sale is free. For more information, visit WhiteSoxCharities.org. We are, as a show, live from Jewel at Roosevelt and Wabash downtown. Chris Cook is very much not here at Jewel. He is covering the White Sox for the Tribune in Cleveland. He joins us now on White Sox Weekly. Hi, Chris. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So, Chris, you and I have known each other for a little while as you cover the Blackhawks for the Chicago Tribune, and you are now coming on to the beat and covering the White Sox for the Trib. Welcome to the beat. And I wonder, from a procedural standpoint for you, what's the first thing an intrepid like yourself does when you get added to a new beat like this? Were there, like, you know, phone numbers that you needed to seek out first? Did you sit down with Rick Hahn and have, like, a Godfather-style dinner that you can't talk about and I'll just ask you about over and over again? How does that work?
I missed the dinner part of it, but no, I have to tell you that I'm taking over for Colleen Kane, who was just terrific in kind of transitioning. She's going to go on to the Bears beat and join that coverage. But she was great in you know, giving me phone numbers and giving me advice from, you know, where to stay in each city to, you know, whether you need a rental car, just logistically things that you don't have. You know, you build those up over the years. I had it with the Blackhawks and I covered them for, what, 8 or 9 years. And, you know, I didn't know anything. I didn't know anybody. So my main thing is introducing myself to people, listening to people, reading everybody, the competition, what Colleen wrote, whatever is still writing, listening to you, watching games, and just kind of immersing myself into the beat because, you know, White Sox fans are very knowledgeable, and if you don't know your stuff, they're going to call you out on it.
Oh, absolutely. We do that on the show just about every, I think that's our last segment of White Sox Weekly, just about every Saturday. I get called out for things I mess up. It's a good segment. So I wonder this, Chris, as much as, and you mentioned listening, and that's a huge part of from what I was told, being a reporter, what do you hear most? And what has impacted you most that you've heard from people as you came on to this beat over the last 2 months or so that you've, you know, that's kind of tipped you off as a direction to go?
You know, you always hear about clubhouses or, you know, dressing rooms and hockey and other places that, oh, it's a very tight group. These guys get along. And, you know, I'm not sure that's always the case, but I have to tell you that this White Sox team, for a team that's lost as many games as it has, for a team that realized it wasn't going to win a lot of games, wasn't going to win a title, isn't going to win a title for a few seasons, these guys really seem to care for each other. They would run through a brick wall for Rick Renteria. And that, to me, is just there's this attitude that's not just mopey, oh, boy, you know, we're not going to win for a few seasons. They really want to go out and get after it. And as soon as Rick Hahn established a direction for this team and said, hey, we're rebuilding, I really think that everybody's really embracing it. I think that's maybe the biggest point for me is that everyone is buying into this. Everyone knows that they may not be around next year. Their job might be taken, you know, tomorrow by a prospect coming in. But it doesn't seem to bother them. They've really bought in. They do play pretty hard. They can make mistakes. They don't win a whole lot of games, although they had a very good September, I thought. This is a team that believes in what's going on. I think that's very important in any kind of rebuild. You need everybody from top to bottom buying in.
Talking with Chris Cook of the Chicago Tribune, who is your new White Sox beat reporter for the Tribune. You follow him on Twitter, at Chris, C-H-R-I-S, Cook, K-U-C. And if you're at all a Blackhawks fan, you'll remember Chris's coverage of their handful of title runs. Chris, I wonder this, you know, as spring training approaches, and, you know, we played a little bit on the show here of Rick Hahn's press conference with beat reporters, Thursday's final home game at Guaranteed Rate Field. As spring training comes around, there are a handful of prospects that we haven't seen at the big league level this year that I'm very interested to see, you know, where they get assigned, what, how aggressive the White Sox are in playing them in some of these spring training games, because that always kind of gives you a get-go as to, you know, where, what they might think of some of those guys. Are there a couple of names that you're more excited than others to see?
I really want to see Luis Robert. I think that he's a guy that, you know, has gotten a lot of hype already. Seems to have all the tools. You follow him along on Instagram. He seems like he does a pretty good time as well. But this is a guy who, you know, Rick Hahn pointed out that, you know, he's probably going to start, you know, be at the big league camp, but might, you know, start in triple in A, but might work his way up a couple of levels pretty quickly. And I think that just is a testament to what they believe in his abilities. It's a kid who I think has all the tools. You know, he doesn't do one thing. He doesn't do just one thing great. He does a lot of things good. And I think that's what you need when you've got a young player like that. Can he run? Can he throw? Can he hit? He seems to be a guy that can really put all those together. A guy like Rutherford, I like him. You know, so I went down to went to Norfolk and I watched Michael Kopech pitch. And this is a guy who White Sox fans should be very excited to see. Yes, he throws hard, but he's also very he knows how to pitch, which I think is a big difference here. He doesn't just go out there and, you know, throw 102 miles an hour because he can throw 102 miles an hour. But he said, "I'm a starter. I can't do that for nine innings or seven or eight or nine innings. My arm's going to fall off." He really knows what he's going to do. He developed a sinker, which I think is very important. It's been a very good out pitch for him. So if you're a White Sox fan, you're looking at the future. You're already seeing Giolito has been terrific. You've seen Lopez. You've seen Fulmer. Look out for Michael Kopech. I know he's got a lot of hype, but trust me, I watch this kid pitch. I talk to him afterward, and to me, he's got everything that he needs to be an ace in this league.
You've asked, or Thursday, you asked Rick Hahn whether he allows himself the, you know, the daily daydream to maybe think that this rebuild is ahead of whatever schedule they set out before they ended up trading Chris Sale and Adam Eaton in the offseason. And I wonder if you've got a sense of how Sox fans should set their expectations for that kind of a timetable, for that kind of window. Do you have a firmer grasp now than maybe you thought you'd have when you came over as to when this team, when this, even so many prospects we haven't seen yet can be legitimately competitive?
Yeah, you know, I'm writing this for the next couple of days. I think I'll probably write it for Monday's paper. But, you know, you look at what the Twins did. They had 100 losses last year, and they made the postseason this year. And I know it's a different situation. I know they weren't quite in rebuilding mode like the White Sox were, but it just shows, it goes to show you that if you put in everything together, you can go ahead and make a run there. Now, I'm not saying the White Sox are going to be a playoff team next year, but I do believe they're going to be more competitive than maybe people thought. Because every time you're talking about the White Sox, you hear, oh, yeah, 2020, 2019 at best. 2018 can be a successful season if you play 500 or right about there, and you can make that as a stepping stone. But you talk to those guys in the room, and I have been talking to them, they believe they can be competitive next year. Jose Abreu brought it up first, and I guess talked to Matt Davidson, he said the same thing. These are guys who believe if they play their best, and, you know, everyone's going to come through. You've got to have everybody. You've got to have Abreu have another season like he had. You need to have, you know, Giolito be an ace. You need Lopez to take another step up. You need to have a couple more guys come in. They're not going to compete for a title next year, but I do think they're going to be a competitive baseball team. You're going to see more wins than you saw this year, and as long as you get that rolling, get that positive vibe rolling, then I don't think it's going to be, you know, 2025 before the team does something.
Obviously, a lot of that, Chris, we're talking with Chris Cook of the Chicago Tribune here for another minute or two on White Sox Weekly. A lot of that is going to have to do with just how well the young pitching ends up pitching. And while we've seen, you know, Lucas and Reynaldo and even Carson Fulmer this last two starts or so throw real well, and perhaps there's more on the way, Rick mentioned that there's been a pretty big hole shot through the bullpen, I think is the way he phrased it.
Yeah.
Do you go ahead and set your sights high if you're the White Sox? You know, there aren't a ton of high-end free agent relievers out there, but do you go ahead and shoot for those, or are there, do you get the sense that there might be smaller deals that they could make to pick up a reliever that they maybe hang on to, like a Tommy Canley who's 26, maybe you do flip him, maybe you hold on to him long-term? Do you just have to get creative to kind of fix what's left of that bullpen?
Yeah, you sure do, and I think Rick kind of shown the ability to do that, whether it is a Canley guy that that kind of came off the scrap heap and suddenly gets used an asset for you, you're able to trade him for something. You know, it didn't work out in other instances. Derek Holland obviously didn't work out. But yeah. I think you go out there and you get some veteran guys who might have another season or two. And, you know, they're mostly stopgap guys. You know, you would like to get guys that are under control and, oh, yeah, he's going to be in the bullpen for the next five or six seasons. That's not very realistic. But I do think that when you're trying to win some games, you're trying to develop a winning culture. As you know, as Rick Hahn said, we shot up this bullpen pretty well. You know, you had a lot of guys out there who probably wouldn't be in the major leagues right now if that hadn't happened. So, you know, you don't go out and just sign a bunch of veteran guys to fill those roles. But you do go out and look for some reclamation projects, some guys who might have some life in their arms a little bit, and maybe hit on a gem or two. And then whether you hold on to them or, as Rick Hines has done, you flip them for something, I do think that's the way they'll go. But I do think you want to bolster that bullpen, especially Rick Hines. That was the first thing he mentioned. You know, he didn't say, hey, we need a new catcher, we need a third baseman. He said, we need to do something with the bullpen because it's been pretty bad. And it's not to really fault those guys out there. They're kind of in a situation there where there's not a whole lot of other guys to go to. Rick Renteria looks down in that bullpen and goes, oh, boy, I'm not sure I'm going to bring in right now. And there's been some rough outings out there.
Is it the same approach for the rotation from your perspective for next year? Because with Carlos Rodon, likely, let's just say for the sake of your conversation and mine here for the next couple of minutes, that Carlos is not going to be available to you until, you know, the first 2 months of the season. Let's say it is that 8 months, right? You've got starts to hand out. You've got one spot in the rotation, it seems, as is. Everybody stays healthy and moves forward. Do you just take a couple of shots and see what happens? Do you can you get aggressive early on and make a move? You know, the John Lester signing has often been cited as something that was done maybe before they thought it would really matter. Turned out to work out fine timing-wise, but where do you figure they go there?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we know pretty much what the rotation is going to be, and a lot does depend on Rodon's health. And I agree with you; it'd be pretty amazing if he came back for opening day there. But I really do. Before I get to, I really answer your question, but I've been watching Lucas Giolito, and to me, this kid is an ace, and I see that in him. He's got the makeup for it. He's got the stuff for it. He's just got this tall and imposing guy on the mound. You talk to opponents, and they're like, "My God, he looks like he's 7 feet tall out there." And his release point is so high; it's very difficult for them to get to anything. So this is a guy I'd be excited about because I don't think he's a three or four. I think he's a one or a two. And then, you know, you talk about, I don't think you bring up Kopech. I think you wait a little bit on him, but you got another season of Lopez. You know, Carson Fulmer's been very good. I do think you go out and get yourself a veteran. You've already got James Shields. I think you pencil him in, obviously, in the rotation. Go out and get yourself somebody like that, certainly not contract-wise, but somebody that age who's trying to prove himself maybe in a couple more seasons. Again, they tried it with Derek Holland. Didn't work out. But there are some guys out there who can throw some innings and eat up some innings there while you cultivate some of this young talent.
Chris, great talking to you. Thanks so much for coming on to White Sox Weekly. Looking forward to having a bunch of these visits next season.
I'll be around. Thanks for having me, Connor. I appreciate it.
You got it. That's Chris Cook of the Chicago Tribune. He is the newest White Sox beat reporter. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Cook. Cook is spelled K-U-C. I'm Connor McKnight. We're going to take a quick break here on White Sox Weekly. Come right back. And I wanted to get into a couple of the pitchers that Chris mentioned might be in the realm of perhaps adding for starting pitcher-wise. You know, that's, Rick Hahn can't comment on guys under contract, but we sure can here on the show. We can speculate all we want. It's what we do. 312-591-8900 is the phone number. Last couple of minutes of White Sox Weekly next. Before we start the pregame show, White Sox and Indians in just a little bit right here on WLS AM 890. Welcome back to White Sox Weekly here on WLS AM 890, our final White Sox Weekly of the regular season. Single tier. White Sox games are better with a group. Group events are perfect for clients, employees, celebrating, or fundraising. Bring your group for a great experience with specially priced tickets. It is never too early to start planning 2018. I know we are here at WLS. For more information, call 312-674-6330 or visit whitesox.com. Just got done talking with White Sox beat reporter Chris Cook of the Chicago Tribune. Talked a little bit about the starting rotation, the future of it, exactly how it's going to look in 2018. And I apologize if we've been so fixated on it here on White Sox Weekly, but it really is kind of a fascinating thing to me, and especially with the news of Carlos Rodon needing surgery, having had surgery, and perhaps missing a little bit of time at the beginning of the season. Yeah, obviously with Giolito and Lopez and with Shields in that rotation already, it seems as though, to me, as though there are two spots, right? Whether Carson Fulmer steps up, perhaps, you know, tonight against the Indians in spring training next year, however it works out, there's a spot open for him maybe. Michael Kopech, I think, has probably got a little bit more work at AAA to do before the White Sox call him up, if for nothing else than to make sure the timelines are right. It's part of baseball now. It's the way teams hold on to and create long-term contenders. It's by, you know, making sure that players are around for seven instead of six. Now, the other part of that equation, though, is perhaps adding a piece or two in free agency that can space you out a couple of starts. There aren't a whole lot of sexy names on the free agent market coming up this season. If Clayton Kershaw opts out, then you start to talk about it a little differently. However, I got to imagine that everybody in baseball is in the bidding for a guy like Clayton Kershaw. No, instead, you're looking at names maybe like a Tyler Chatwood of the Rockies. They have a young kid in Jeff Hoffman. They're going to make the playoffs. Hoffman's been pushing hard, though he's been kind of moved into the bullpen here. Maybe he's on the come. And Tyler Chatwood, who's at 28, is a guy you can pick up and kind of work with for a little while. Maybe you pick up a veteran like Chris Tillman, who has had a really rough season with the Baltimore Orioles. But Tillman is a guy who's shown top-end potential before, or at least, middle-of-the-rotation type stuff. And he's a guy that you can take a swing with, like you did with Derek Holland. Perhaps there's some value later on. Hector Santiago, a guy who's very familiar with the White Sox system, having come up through it, might be a guy you're able to take a swing at, too. Certainly his season hadn't gone as well as he'd like, but Miguel Gonzalez is going to be out there as well. And after the White Sox traded Miguel, I kind of got the sense that perhaps a reunion might be in the books for a guy like Miguel Gonzalez. Though, his value to teams is kind of an interesting one. As well as he's pitched with the Sox, it was really kind of crazy to me, and to Ricky Renteria, and to a certain degree Rick Hahn, all talked about it, that it took as long as it did for the White Sox to move Miguel Gonzalez after the waiver deadline. So, perhaps there are things you want to play with there, but there are options to be sure, and it'll be really interesting to see just how the White Sox play their hand with what will be the starting rotation in the 2018 season. We will talk about that and about all of the players and prospects involved in the White Sox here in the 2017 year when we wrap things up Saturday afternoon. Next Saturday, 1 week from now, this is our last show of the regular season, but next Saturday we will do a two-hour season wrap-up, star-studded event. You'll hear all the highlights from the season, the whole deal. Thanks so much for listening throughout the course of the season, too. I really appreciate it. And you can always, remember, hit us up on Twitter, at C1McKnight. You can leave your notes for us there, but we'll get back to you all winter long on White Sox Weekly. Our thanks to the whole promotions crew and engineering crew out here at Jewel on Roosevelt and Wabash. The pregame show is coming up next at 5:35. Thanks to Adam Studzinski, our producer, back at the shop. We will be back to start the White Sox pregame show in just a few, so don't go anywhere. You have WLS AM 890.
You've been listening to White Sox Weekly, the official weekly talk show covering all things White Sox baseball. Listen every week for White Sox Weekly on WLS AM 890, the proud home for White Sox baseball.